us all about Jesus Christ, and in short time, this young slave became a Christian. And now, and again, we don't know the details, Onesimus is about to be released. We don't know if Paul was able to work something out. We don't know the details. But Onesimus is about to be released from jail, and Paul has a plan. He's got a big plan. He's got a bold plan. He's got an audacious plan. He is going to send Onesimus, the runaway slave, back to his master, Philemon. And he's got an unexpected request for Philemon. He writes, "I am appealing to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I've become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me, and I am sending him back." That is my own heart. Second time he's used the word heart in the letter. My own heart. I'm sending him back to you. Paul tells Philemon about the deep relationship he has developed with Onesimus, that they are father and they are son. He says, "Onesimus is my own heart." And he says that formerly Onesimus was useless to you. But now, and you have to know this, that the word Onesimus, the name means useful in Greek. He said, "This slave of yours who was useless before is now useful, Onesimus, both to you and to me. I wanted to keep him with me," says Paul, "so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced." Paul equates Onesimus and Philemon as equal to him. They have both been of service to Paul. And now Paul wants Philemon to take his runaway slave back. Now you have to know, in the ancient Roman world, a slave owner had absolute power over a slave. A slave owner could do anything he or she wanted to a slave, including kill them if they disobeyed the master. And Paul is asking Philemon to take his runaway slave back, but he wants this to be done with Philemon's consent. He wants this to be a voluntary thing, because you see, my friend, serving Jesus is always a voluntary thing. God does not want us, Jesus does not want us to serve him out of "fine, I'll do it" kind of motivation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, when Paul talks about giving money to the Lord, he says this: "Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver." Have you ever been forced to do something nice for someone? Have you ever been forced to make an apology? "You say you're sorry to your brother right now!" A lot of love in that, isn't there? That's not what Paul wants here. He wants Philemon to voluntarily take his slave back. And so Paul says, maybe even God's been behind this. Perhaps this is the reason that he was separated you for a while, that he might give you back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but even much more so to you, both in the flesh and the Lord. Paul wants Philemon to know that Paul, Onesimus, and Philemon are now intimately bound together through one thing, and that one thing is faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul wants Philemon to take Onesimus back, not as a slave, but as a beloved brother, because God has made them equal through Jesus Christ. Again, in his letter to the Galatians, Paul says about everyone who's baptized, "For in Jesus Christ you have all been baptized through faith, and as many of you as were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So there's no longer," listen to this, "there's no longer Jew or Greek, there's no longer slave or free, there's no longer male or female, you are all one in Christ Jesus." Paul really meant that. And he wants Philemon to really mean it as well. But Paul's going to close the deal now. And he says this to Philemon: "So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. How seriously do you take our relationship, Philemon, is what Paul is saying. Well, if you take it seriously, treat Philemon, that runaway slave of yours who stole from you, treat him just as you would treat me. And Paul goes a step further when he writes, and if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to my account. Paul says, and it seems as though Philemon or Onesimus probably stole something from Philemon, money or property, and Paul probably knew all about it from his conversations with Onesimus in jail. Paul says, if he stole anything from you, I'll pay you back. In fact, at this next moment, Paul does something truly amazing. Normally, Paul would dictate his letters to someone else because Paul tells us he has really bad handwriting. Those of us who have really bad handwriting, you know what that's like. But at this point in the letter, it seems as though Paul took the quill in his own hands, and he wrote this. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay you. Paul writes an IOU to Philemon. I'll pay you back whatever he stole. Then he throws out, I say nothing about you owing even your whole life to me. He's not above doing that, I think. Just to remind Philemon that you have received so much from me. Now I ask you to do this for me. And Paul ends with confidence that Philemon will do what he says. He says, yes, brother, let me have this benefit in you and the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ, confident in your obedience. I am writing to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. For the third time, Paul talks about the heart, the seat of faith. And then he throws in a little PS at the end of the letter, and he says, by the way, I'm hoping to get out of prison, and when I do, I might come by and check on how things are going, so why don't you get a room ready for me, just in case. I suspect he's not saying that to say, you know, I'm going to check up on you, so you better do the right thing. I imagine he's saying, I want to come and see how this all works. I don't know what really happened in this letter, but I've always imagined it this way. One day there is a knock on Philemon's door, and Philemon opens the door, and who is standing there but that runaway slave, Onesimus? And remember, this is pre-internet, pre-cell phone days. He had no idea he was coming. And what must have been running through Philemon's mind as he sees the runaway slave, and the runaway slave hands him a letter. What kind of feelings of excitement, confusion, perhaps even rising anger was inside of Philemon as he read that letter and saw what Paul wanted? Well, we don't know. Fortunately, we don't know. It'd be great to know, but we don't know. You and I are left wondering what happens at the end of this story. We do know one thing. We do know one thing. In about the year 110 AD, which is maybe 50 years after this story, this letter takes place, the early Christian church father Ignatius was writing about the Bishop of Ephesus, a city in western Turkey, one of the major cities, and perhaps the city where Philemon lived. And he writes about the elderly bishop of the church in Ephesus. And the name of that bishop? Onesimus. Now, we don't know if it's the same person, but it could be very possible that this runaway slave who went back to Philemon was truly welcomed as a brother in the faith, and he grew as a leader in the church, and he became the bishop of that congregation, the Bishop of Ephesus, who spent the rest of his life serving the Lord. I'd love to know. So, that's the letter, and it is a great letter, but it's more than just an ancient letter. It's a lesson for you and for me. And I'm not here giving you a history lesson or doing a book report for you. It's a sermon. So I've always got to tell you, what does this mean for us in our lives? And I'd like to share three things for you that I think we can learn and we should take away from Paul's letter to Philemon. The first is this. Jesus Christ has the power to change lives. Being a Christian is not about being a nice person who does nice things. Jesus Christ is about changing lives. Jesus Christ is about making old things into something new. Jesus rules in our hearts. Remember, three times in this 25-verse letter, Paul talks about the heart. Jesus changes our hearts and makes us new. I have a note in one of my old Bibles from a lecture I attended 30 years ago by a pastor named Don Abdon. And he said this: you can't teach an old dog new tricks, you need a new dog. Faith in Jesus makes us a new dog, a new person. Jesus needs to make us new. You can't go around doing the same old all the time if you believe in Jesus Christ. He changes us. The second thing I think Philemon teaches you and me is this. It teaches us that the power of forgiveness is an amazing thing. I mean, put yourself in Paul's sandals as he writes this letter asking for this forgiveness. Put yourselves in Onesimus' shoes as you carry this letter perhaps back to your master, not knowing how he's going to respond. Think about the power of forgiveness in there. Put yourselves in Philemon's shoes as you read this letter and look at that runaway slave and see what Paul asks you to do. For Christians, forgiveness is not theoretical. It's not something we think about. It's something we do. We are called to forgive. Forgive us our trespasses as we have forgiven those who trespass against us. And how many Christians will sit in a church pew day in, day out, week in, year out, needing to forgive someone and needing to ask someone's forgiveness, but they never do it? Christ calls us to be in the forgiving business. If Philemon could forgive his runaway slave, don't you think you could forgive that friend or that family member who ticked you off last Thanksgiving? Can't we do that? And finally, a third thing. Jesus Christ binds us all together. If someone gets upset today, what do? They leave the church and they go join another church, right? There are some people who have joined and left churches multiple times. You can't do that in the early church. There was no Second Christian Church of Ephesus three blocks down the road from Philemon's house. Back then, if you had a conflict with someone in the church, you had to work it out with them. There were no other options. Jesus Christ calls us to stick it out with one another, to be bound in love, to work to achieve good relationships. And Paul reminds us in this letter that that is something worth working very hard to achieve. The early church was filled with sinners, and it was filled with conflict. You want to guess what the church today is filled with? It is filled with sinners, and it is filled sometimes with conflict. Christ wants us to be one. And if we say we love Jesus, and if we say we obey Jesus, shouldn't we strive to do what he wants? There's a whole lot in the book of Philemon. I encourage you to go home today and read it, and then tomorrow I'll say to someone, yeah, I read an entire book of the Bible yesterday. Pretty good. Philemon, you should check it out sometime. But I encourage you to do it. It's an amazing little book with an amazing relationship going on in it. Paul, Philemon, Onesimus, they are all in our midst as well. So remember what the name Onesimus means. Confirmation students, I may quiz you on this Wednesday night, okay? It means what? Useful. Let's make sure that we are all useful to Jesus Christ as he makes us new, as we forgive in his name, and as we are bound together as one through him. Amen.